Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Recapping real quickly, just if you haven't caught up with us and been all of our stuff is online. It's all free if you'd like to get it. We're made up of three parts. I always feel like I need to go over that because a lot of times people think, well, I'm a brain and a body. And the Bible actually says differently. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this. Paul was praying. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I really like that. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless. You know, God wants us to be sound, not just in our spirits, but in our minds and in our bodies. And so Paul was praying that, and he's saying, I want them to be sound, but we are a spirit, which is the eternal part of us, which the Bible refers to as the inner man or the new man. We have a soul, and the soul is involved in the mind and the will and the emotions. And a lot of times in the scriptures, when you read the scriptures, you really have to discern what it's talking about, because sometimes it's hard to tell if it's talking about the spirit of man or the soul. You hear the term souls are saved. And so you really have to discern. A lot of times I'll just use the term inner life, because I will say this: our spirits and our minds and will and emotion are very much connected, which is why we talk about our thoughts. We talk about how our thinking is, because the Bible says to be carnally minded, or just simply minded on the flesh, is death. It's spiritual death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so what we learn is that there is a connection there, spirit, soul, and body. We know the body because, you know, you're very aware of that. You're aware of where you are emotionally. If someone came to you and said, "Hey, how are you doing tonight? Are you happy or sad?" You wouldn't have to go pray about it. You could just tell them, "No, I'm good." Spiritually, it's a little harder to discern. And that's why the scriptures are so important, because they help us see things from a spiritual perspective. I probably won't get into it tonight. I won't get into it next week. But I want to talk about discerning who we are and having that begin to renew our minds. But let's just kind of, again, lay a foundation. So we are spirit, have a soul, live in a body. God made us new in our spirits. When you were born again, and if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Well, obviously it's talking about, has to be our spirit, because it can't be our mind, because we still think the same way. And it can't be our body, because those don't change. And so it's the spirit that's made new. But spirit's made new. We have to do something with our mind. We have to do something with our body. That's Romans 12:2, where Paul is saying, don't be conformed to this world. Well, actually he said, well, I'll just read it. It's not in the notes, but I'll read it. It's a good one. Romans 12 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, which includes sistren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's saying that don't be molded into the way the world that is without God, the world that has no honor for God, no respect for God, the way they think. We're not molded in the patterns that they are, but we're transformed. Well, how does that transformation take place? God doesn't do it. We do it as we begin to change and begin to renew the way we think in our thought life, in our attitudes, in our mentality. So it's a process. Now, as we go through this process, and the key to this, changing our thoughts, is going to be the key to transformation. This is how some people, you know, have been in church for years, and you can't see much of a difference in their life. It's not the church's fault. Some people say, well, you know, if that pastor would preach better, then people would live better. It is not my fault. I need to prepare, obviously, and do a good job, but there's a mutual sharing here, and what you're able to receive and what you're able to learn and grow. When you come in here, this is one reason I like Wednesday nights. Typically, you come Wednesday night, you're hungry enough to want to receive something. And so it makes it easier to preach in this environment, but you can listen and listen and listen all day. If you never take it and put it into your life, it's not going to change anything. So this, and I've heard people say, well, they just didn't get saved. No, they were thoroughly saved, but they just never took, they never saw the transformation part take place. They never began to take God's word and put it in them so it can change their lives. So we're talking about that, and it's a process. Now, when you start to hear these things process, we talked last week about noticing your thoughts. You begin to notice your thoughts. How are you thinking on the things? Well, here's the deal. If you never have really challenged your thoughts, you're not going to notice them anyway. Now, if you're in athletics, a lot of times in athletics, they will work with sports psychologists because they recognize that if your mind is not right, your performance is not going to be right. And so, how many, anybody coaches or involved in athletics? Coaches will tell you, a good coach will help his team or her team get together mentally before they hit the field. And they need to get their mind right before they hit the field. And so a good coach is not going to walk in there to his team and go, you know, I saw the other team. We're going to get killed. If you had a coach like that, you would think, oh my gosh, we need to get another coach. One of the best coaches I ever saw was actually when Matt played Little League football. And I think he was about 10 or 11 years old. He had a great coach. This coach was really good. And, you know, the kids would mess up on a play. And you know how kids are. They're like, you're stupid, you're an idiot. And he wouldn't put up with it. And he would have them shout, what's the most important play? And they had to shout, next play. That's a good way to live. When you mess up, don't keep beating yourself up. What's the most important play? The next play. Get up and go again. He was highly organized. He was a great coach. But a good coach is going to help their teams get ready mentally. Right now, they're getting ready to have the Super Bowl. This is the bowl that we don't care about. But, I mean, is anyone excited about this one?
Yes.
Us Texan fans are still bitter, is what we are. But they're getting ready, and they're mentally getting ready. And athletes do that because athletes are paid to perform. And so you say, well, I'm not paid to perform. Well, yeah, you are. Maybe it doesn't come in money, but it comes in other forms. Satisfaction, career advancement, peace in your home, peace in your relationships. I love the delayed loop. Woo, it was good. It was good. But so as we're thinking about these things, we begin to notice thoughts. Now, here's what happens. The more you begin to read scriptures, God's word begins to act like a filter. And you begin to read things, and then when thoughts begin to come, you begin to challenge them. So we first notice thoughts. Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. A lot of times when you're reading, you don't realize you're putting light in. And so when light comes in, it will begin to show up some of the darkness that's there. Because what happens is people just assume that this is just the way they are and they can't change. But you begin to read God's word and you begin to realize, wait a minute. I'm starting to see some things differently. I'm starting to see that I have help. I'm starting to see that I'm a new creation. I'm starting to see that the limitations that I have placed on my life are the limitations I've placed or the enemy's tried to place, but God's not placing limitations on me. In fact, He's given me His Holy Spirit to live on the inside of me to make a difference in my life. He's given me His Word. Wait a minute. I'm part of a kingdom that's not a failure kingdom. I'm part of a kingdom that works. I'm part of a family that's strong. I'm part of a family that can make a difference. Hang on a second. I'm not in the dark anymore. I'm in the light. And you begin to see things from a different perspective. And then you begin to stop buying off on all those things. Well, depression is running my family, and I guess it's going to be my destiny. It may be something that you're kind of leaning towards, but it doesn't have to be your future. If you've grown up with it, you've probably grown up with it, but you don't have to stay with it. Oh, that's the wonderful thing about the gospel. Whatever you've had that's in your life and in your family, I don't care if it's poverty. I don't care if it's just a mentality that no one can make relationships work. I don't care what it is. It can change. Amen. But you're going to have to challenge some thoughts. Because you hear people say, well, you know, my grandma, she was a champion worrier. And my mom was a worrier, and I'm just a nervous person. And I can understand where you get that. But do you want to challenge that? Do you want to stay with it? See, at some point in time, you begin to read, wait a minute. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when those anxiety thoughts come, now you can begin to notice them and go, wait. That's just a thought. That's not me. Be good when you begin to separate yourself from your thoughts. And begin to say, you know what? That's this wrong thinking. I tell you wrong thinking. Prejudice is wrong thinking. You ever notice how many people, after grace comes in their life, great race doesn't matter near as much anymore? Sounds like you might need to separate yourself from that thought. We notice them, we name them. We start to recognize and go, oh, that's an insecure thought. How about these thoughts? Everyone's against me. How about anybody ever have a worst case scenario thought? How about a thought of, you know, I'm just, no one cares. How about, well, I'm always going to be lonely. I'll die alone. These are thoughts people have. They're not godly thoughts. And that's not what God says. But you have to notice it, and then you have to start calling them out. If you can call them out, use your words. Sometimes I'll go, no. I'll actually, this is around the house, not typically in a public place. But I have some thoughts, and I'll go, no, I'm not going there. No, I'm not going there. I'll just call it out. No, not going there. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to recognize that thought. I'm going to notice it. I'm going to name it. No, that's a fear thought. That's not from God. You know, defeatist, negative, dark thoughts are not from the Lord. That's not the Holy Spirit ministering those thoughts to you. He ministers thoughts of peace and love and joy. Good thoughts. And so you start to catch them. And then you begin to, and this is where the work comes in. We reframe it. Notice it, name it, reframe it. Taking thoughts and reframing them, replacing them with Scripture. And the Bible is a supernatural, God-given tool to manage thoughts. Now, there's a phrase in the Scripture, and maybe some of you have heard about this before, but I want to introduce it to you tonight. It's called taking thoughts captive. Capturing thoughts, taking them captive. If you go to I'm going to jump down to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. This says, although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare, notice all the aggressive terms, wage war, weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that's raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Taking thoughts captive, waging war. You say, well, what are the weapons of my warfare? We have God's Word, and we use God's Word to begin to capture thoughts. We know how to capture bizarre thoughts. Now, I know I'm not the only one that's ever had this. You know, there's that bridge that goes over the Mississippi. You're ever going over a big bridge and you have this thought, just drive off the bridge. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Some of you have had that very same thought. How many of you know that's a bizarre thought? You're like, that's a stupid thought. That's so bizarre, and you realize, I'm not doing that, no. But it's the sneaky ones that says, you're just not good enough. You're not a good Christian. You're not strong enough to deal with this. You ever have one of those thoughts? You're too weak. You're not strong enough. You say, well, what am I going to do with that thought? I got an idea. That's where you take a scripture and you go, you know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Bible said, I can take up the shield of faith and I can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The thing about it is we have to challenge thoughts when they come in and go, no, I'm not going to think that. And then we replace it with a Bible thought, with a scripture. If you're dealing, for example, with fear all the time, you're just, I'm just so nervous. I'm just so afraid. You need to have a scripture that you can begin to capture those anxious thoughts with and cast it down. That God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so instead, when the fear thoughts come, one, you go, no, not going there. No, thank God. Lord, I thank you that I am strong and I'm of a good courage. I am not afraid and I'm not dismayed, for you are with me wherever I go.
Amen.
Do you see the difference? And if you can use your mouth, it will help you. Again, not in your cubicle at work out loud, but not in the public place, but when you're by yourself. One of the things, man, I'll call them out and deal with them. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was tempted by the enemy? And every time the enemy would say, well, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And he said, what? It is written. And every time the enemy came to him with a ridiculous thing, it is written. Jump off this temple. It is written. He had an it is written. And it is written is how you begin to combat the negative thoughts. But you got to know what's written. This is why everyone here at the Ark reads Bible 365. Not because it makes the pastor happy, because you need to know what's written so you can begin to challenge those negative, stinking thoughts that try to plague you, and especially when thoughts start looping. You ever had a thought just loop?
Yes.
You just get on the loop and it just runs and runs and runs. And you know what you have to do with it? You have to stop and go, no! I am not thinking that way, Lord, and then you replace it. Here's one. I'll tell you what they did to me. I'm not going to forgive them. I'm never going to forgive them. I'm thinking of all the things that I can do to them. And if they say this, I'm going to say this. And if they do this, then I'll do that. And I'm going to win. So how do you know that, Alan? Because I've had those thoughts. See, here's the thing. Being a pastor doesn't mean you're immune from thoughts.
Amen.
I know y'all think I live in some godly glass bubble where I don't have to deal with stuff. But we probably have more stuff to deal with.
Amen.
Because every time I preach a sermon, it can come back to, hit me right in the face. This is what you said. Why aren't you doing it? This is what you said. Why aren't you doing it? And then I have joy going, this is what you said. Why aren't you doing it? But we deal with the same thing. And listen, you say, Alan, this sounds like work to challenge thoughts and get scriptures and cast them down. It is. It is work. That's why the Bible called it a warfare, a battle. And here's where the mental health thing comes in. People give up. And they just say, I can't help it. I can't help the way I think. I'm just in this pattern and I'm in this thing. And I realize that you can get caught in a pattern and just roll in a pattern and roll in a pattern and roll in a pattern. But you have to have something to intercept the pattern. Something, but you need something stronger than just, I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to think that way. You need a scripture. You need one of God's words on that, because God's word is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a powerful spiritual attack. It will attack those thoughts, and you can begin to catch them. I dealt with depression for years. My family, it ran in my family. We called it bad moods. That's a nice term. It was depression. I dealt with it for years, and it's a pattern. I could recognize when I was going into it. I would recognize how the thoughts would begin to go. I would recognize how I would begin to act. And I would recognize it, and then I would get into that, and then I was in a bad mood, and I hated it, and I wasn't good to anybody, and no one wanted to be around me. And you say, well, that was before you was a pastor. No, it was when I was a pastor. It's been years, and thank God. What you say, well, did God just finally have mercy on you? Did Joy just finally pray you out of it? No, I appreciate her prayers. And her prayers, I know they helped me. But what helped me was I began to catch the pattern and do something about it. And when I felt myself going into it, there have been times I've been driving down the road going, no, I am not going there. Lord, I thank you, I bless you, I praise you, because it's hard to be depressed and grateful at the same time. I thank you. I give you praise. Say, did you feel like it? No, I did not feel like it. But we can't live by our feelings. If you live by your feelings, you'll never do very much. If you only do what you feel, you won't do a lot. Is it tough? Yes. But you can come through. Get a scripture. Say, Alan, I don't know all the scriptures you know. You don't have to know all the scriptures I know. One good one will work. You don't have to have a whole bunch of them. I have a whole bunch of them because I've been doing this for a long time. But you can get a scripture. Whatever area is bothering you, get a scripture, get a promise that deals with that, and begin to handle that and begin to use it against those thoughts that come your way. Y'all are quiet. Is this making sense? Yes. Okay. I'm just checking to see if you're here. I know you're breathing. I can hear you breathing. The idea is there are thought patterns that become what the Bible calls strongholds. And their thoughts, and here, this is why we shouldn't judge other people. Because what your stronghold is may be different than the one I have to deal with. And so we're just real great. Just be gracious to other people. Maybe they don't deal with the same stuff you do. But you have things you deal with. And so find scriptures that talk about it. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're anxious about your children. You know, I know with parents, the enemy plagues them about their kids and what's going to happen to their kids. And you can see sometimes the fear that comes on parents, and they react to their children out of fear. The kids did something and they're like, no, don't do that. I'll close with this. A man was skiing with his kids. He had a 10-year-old. And they went up to a ski slope, and the 10-year-old said, I don't want to ski down. Would you carry me down, Daddy? His boy. And the dad was a type A alpha male kind of guy, and he's like, no, you're going to ski down. And the boy fell down, started crying. I'm not going to do it. And it just made the dad mad. A lot of times what the dad is dealing with is fear. Fear that your son won't grow up strong. And he's begin to berate. The wife saw what was going on. And she came and she said, let me deal with him. And the dad was, by this time, he's hot. He's like, no, I'm gonna deal with it. And she put her hand on his chest. She said, you're a good man. And those words caught him. He stopped. And he got control of himself, and he went over and little boy is on the ground. He was still sniffling and crying. And he said, son, I'm sorry, Daddy. You saw that Daddy was mad. He said, yeah. He said, Daddy was wrong. You saw how mom interceded and for us and interrupted me. He said, yeah, I did, Daddy. He said, son, I apologize. I'm so sorry. And the son, I think, put his hand on his dad's chest and said, you're a good man. But something interrupted that fear. So much of what we do is fear-based. I did it. The biggest regrets I have were things I responded to my children in fear. I say, well, Alan, how do I do that? I have to believe that my children are blessed of the Lord, that God has a wonderful future for them, that they're going to turn out good, that they're going to win in life, that they're going to discover Jesus. And listen, there are things I can speak over my kids. And when the kids are young, you have people and they're pumping you. Oh, I tell you what, when they get to be teenagers, they're going to break your heart. They're going to break your heart. They're going to break your heart. And it's time we go, no, when I raise up my kids in the way that they, if I raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, if I raise them up in the way they'll go, even when they're old, they will not depart from it. You got to fight the fear back with Scripture. You got to fight it back. So. But fear deals with so many of our relationships, and they deal with things inside of that. And instead of reacting in fear, we have to have something we can combat that fear with. I hope this makes sense. I've thrown a lot at you. But this is how we win. This is how things change. This is how we can look at the future and go, this is where I am, but this is not where I'm going. I got a good future out ahead of me. You know, every year I say at the Ark, our best days are ahead. You know why? Because I believe our best days are ahead. Because I believe with God we go from glory to glory. And we go from strength to strength. But we have to be intentional about that. Would you bow your head for a minute? Father, I pray for those tonight, those who are here, those who are watching, those especially who deal with fear, and it's impacted them and impacted their relationships. And Father, I thank you for light, the entrance of your word gives light. And we can hide your word in our heart that we don't sin against you, and it can cause a change in our life. Thank you for breakthroughs in them. Thank you for your word that can pierce that fear and help them come out of that pattern and live in the fullness of the life you have. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I pray for those here who have dealt with suicidal thoughts. It's of the enemy, it's not of God. God has a future and a plan for you. And he wants you to live because their best days are ahead if you'll trust him and rely on him. I pray for those who have thought that divorce is their only answer. And it's not. There is reconciliation. There is help. And if you'll humble your hearts and turn to the Lord, he can heal you and heal that relationship as well. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you said, you know, Alan, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, or I'm not sure that I have, or maybe you're like I was and you've done that, but then you got away from him and you know it and he knows it and you want to come back, we're going to say a prayer. You're watching online, this prayer is for you just as much. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you say, Alan, I want to make sure I have that relationship with the Lord that I've received him as my Lord, or I want to come back to him. And if that's you, I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. I am going to ask you, would you just wave your hand at me and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you for your courage. Thanks. Yes. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. For those of you maybe who didn't lift your hand you wanted to, or I didn't see your hand, it's hard sometimes to see in here. This prayer is for you, and if you're online, this prayer is for you. You can pray this prayer. We're going to pray it together as a church family, so you're not alone in this. We're going to pray it together. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer. Thank you. We rejoice with them. Out of darkness into light, coming back home. Father, what a good thing. Thank you for working in them. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that they're new creations. Thank you, Lord, for the work you do. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.